cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.
Yena funa hamba kongo. Hey, what's up everybody? You Maraza Law, aka Mr. Kwan, aka PLIND, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show. 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
This is cliffcentral.com.
Shout out to Maraza. You guys just listened to Kwan. That was his first single in a minute. He's doing really big things, man. Thank you for that. Thank you for tuning in. This is your boy, Vaughn the Poet. I'm hanging out. I'm never ever alone, though. So when you hear my voice, you got to know I'm coming squad deep every single Thursday from 12 to 1. I got some Piwe Pedros in the building with me.
Yeah.
Lesejo Mapanga, what's good, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm all good, man. We're just missing Weza today.
Yeah.
Weza said he was in Cape Town.
Yeah, he's living life, man. Like, yeah. I think he took an early holiday. That's how I see it. But he's always in Cape Town.
Early holiday?
Every other weekend.
Weza's job's like a holiday, bro.
Yeah.
Weza just be doing his thing everywhere, yeah, all around the country. So shout out to Weza. He's with us in spirit all the time, but he's out in Cape Town doing his thing. So I'm with Lesejo and Simpiwe. We've got a great show lined up for you guys. We've got a couple of cool guests coming through.
Yeah, lovely ladies, bro. Young.
Lovely ladies, you know what I'm saying? It seems like Spokuzi's got some other formula, no?
I think he's trying to hook men up, eh? Like, I don't know. Brothers up.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. Like, I don't know what Spo's doing.
I think Spo's realized there's too much testosterone in the show every single week, right?
Yeah.
And then probably, you know, he's probably realized, I don't know if you guys noticed, but there's been a continuous fall of the relationships between men.
Yeah.
And it coincides with unemployment rate. So since the unemployment rate goes up, you know, the rate relationship goes down.
Story of our lives.
That's hella. You know what's crazy? I was thinking about it like the other day, and it's quite true though that we do have, well, recently, our producer, Spokuzi, if you guys didn't know, he's been organizing quite a couple of cool guests. And I think some of the best conversations we've had have been with the females, right?
Yeah, it has, bro.
Yeah, the ladies have been really come to the party. I think, like, the guys, I feel like when they come in here and they see Lesejo dressed,
you get scared,
like this, and, like, yeah, looking all buff, and, like, the testosterone level is, like, 9,000. I think they start feeling weird, you know?
Such, wow. Okay, come on, show that.
I feel like... You know what I'm saying? I feel like Lesejo just puts them in another space. All of a sudden, they think, hey, this guy's going to start asking me about my plans for the next year. He's going to make me, what do I owe?
And what's your value proposition?
Like, what's your value proposition? Like, I know who you bank with.
Yeah.
I see your account. What's going on?
That's good. Shout out.
Yeah,
but thank you for you guys for tuning in every Thursday. We really appreciate the support. We've been growing this culture for a while now. We were actually having a conversation in the car on the way here, talking about, it's been over 2 years, we've been on the show. So it's been a crazy journey, right? I think it's been awesome. And approaching the end of the year, you know how we all get, like, we start thinking all about our lives and about the year. And we start,
but isn't that what we've always been doing this year? Like, I feel like this 2016 was the year of reflection. You know, like, men pulling crazy moves, jumping off cliffs, and flying, bro. Learning how to fly.
Sim's talking about himself there.
Nah, Vaughn, you're sitting right next to me, bro. I know you, dog. I know you. I think we're in a similar journey in life, which has been the greatest, bro. Like,
it's been dope.
But 2016 has been such a lit year. I'm just like, I don't even know what's going on with the world anymore.
You know, I said it 2 weeks ago when Trump became president. I'm done with 2016. Can you take me to 2017?
Yeah, you're done.
But now, Doom Prophet. Guys, I was done.
Bro.
I was done, bro.
Yeah, they spring Doom on. You know,
dog, I was done.
No, like, you know what happens to me, right? When I go into social media, I try and not get involved in the negative stuff that's on there.
Sure, bro.
Because, I mean, sometimes I go on Facebook, and especially Facebook, because people have a lot of space to write.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, on Twitter, you see, like, a 140 character post, and it's like, okay, cool. Or you got to click on the article to actually read it.
Yeah.
Facebook, it's just, like, in your face, so you end up reading the stuff. And I generally don't like to engage in it because it kind of makes me feel some type of way, you know? But, yo, bro, when I saw the guy was a Doom pastor, I read the story, and it kind of made me think, like, I wonder, I don't know what to think, because I was like, I don't know what that guy's intentions are. You know, did Doom sponsor him? Is the endorsement, brand endorsement, a deal there, something?
I think you're going too deep, though.
You know what I'm saying? Because why the hell would someone even think that that's like a thing to do, or like an idea to try and pull off?
You know what I think? I think people are being very creative, but I think if you delve down to the root cause of this entire issue, that people are just desperate. Yeah. So I think people are desperate. I think people are hungry, and I think people, once you're in that space, I think you become very gullible.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you know, a very snooty us sitting in sanity, you know, we can sit back and laugh at these things because we're very comfortable where we are. But, you know, when you're hungry and when you're desperate and when you don't really have much to fall back on, I think you'll do some pretty crazy things.
No, it's true.
But
I agree with you.
But I mean, 2016 doesn't even end. I think there's still like one more curveball left in 2016,
bro.
To be honest.
Because I tweeted
another
that,
one.
And I tweeted.
Yeah, because December's coming, yo.
Nah, but December's a lifestyle, bro. Like
December's. This is what's gonna be
done.
Lit.
I'm done, bro. I'm done. Can you take me to 2017 already? I'm done. I'm signing. I signed out, dude. Like I signed out. I'll log in 2017.
Yeah.
Like it's actually quite interesting what you said though, because you spoke about this doom prophet and how people don't know better. Then yesterday, I was having a conversation with the boys, you know, talking about the culture, hood culture, you know, township culture, and how it's very interesting how townships are set up. Like, I don't know, like, Lesego, if you think back to the days where we were in the hood and how things were set up always, and how it's always rare for somebody to make it out of the hood. Like, maybe one in every 10 people make it out of the hood. It's actually quite a deep thing. You know, the hood is designed to keep you there. Like,
yeah.
But I keep telling people, like, if you're in the hood for longer than 10 years, you're never going to get out.
Yo, but don't get it twisted. Some people like to stay in the hood, man. Some people enjoy it. Some people with money still stay in the hood.
For
like,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Just because we come from the suburbs doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't some kind of quality life that guys experience.
No, there is. That's.
I feel like there's stuff in the hood that, you know, us here in the suburbs don't even, like, close, like can't even like fathom.
There's
how cool
a greater
it is, you know,
sense,
I mean,
of community in the hood, which is a beautiful thing.
And you know what I think is, I think I want to dive into that because I think there's many different opinions on that. And I think I really want to hear what people's take is on the hood, because I've got a quite strong one, right?
Yeah.
But before we go in there, so I want to know what's the highlights of the week, and then we need to go straight into the guest. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So in about after this, we're going to go into the guest in about five or so minutes. So let's try wrap it up in 5 minutes.
I'll give it to Lesego. He's got a great highlight. I know.
Yeah, you know Lesego always, dog.
He's got a great highlight.
So my highlight. let's see. What's the date today? The date is.
Let's talk about Friday night.
24. Oh, last week. Okay, so last week was my birthday. Last week, Tuesday was my birthday, right?
Yeah.
So I had my birthday dinner on the Friday, right? It was lit, right? I
think lit is an understatement, bro. It's an understatement.
All right, cool. Let me flex. Go touch in the building. I'll be like that.
Yeah,
so
good.
Basically what happened, right? They went to Morningside, right? Booked out a five-star hotel, right?
Yeah.
We're about 30, 40 strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlimited brews, unlimited food. Pretty much got everybody plastered, and that was the pre-game. We didn't even get to the club.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, we went to go to the club, right? Which is taboo.
Yeah.
Pretty much packed that place out. I think about an hour and a half after I got to taboo, I was so.
It was over for you, dog.
It was so over. I literally had to go into the car, right, and sleep it off.
Shout out.
While I was doing that, I mean, I didn't even see Black Coffee perform. I didn't see anyone perform. The birthday cake came out. I wasn't even there.
Oh,
so
damn.
I just keep hearing, like, dude, your birthday cake was so cool. I'm like, yeah, no, I didn't see it.
Yo, that birthday cake was the cake with those dollars on.
Yeah, it was the cake with the dollars on.
Yeah, the cake with the money on.
Yeah. So my birthday was fine. But the thing is, I haven't celebrated my birthday in about 5 years.
Yes, and I've been there those past 5 years, so it was great to celebrate.
My birthday is always annoyingly in the middle of flipping exams, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also people just never have money at this time
of
the year.
Shout out.
I mean, can I just say, like...
So I'm done.
So talking about Lesego's birthday, I got to his birthday dinner at around 8 o'clock. You know, 8 is very early, right? Okay. It's early in the night. Lesego was done already. Like, he was within, like... He was the most within. But then, you know, like, even though he was within, like, he was within the bottle, I've never heard such a deep speech from a man. I think he sobered up while he was saying his speech, bruh. He went in and thanked everybody. I was like, yo, shout out to Lesego.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Shouting out the people that have played a pivotal role in his life. So, yeah, that was great, Lesego. My highlight was last week Thursday. Why I wasn't here was because I was at TEDx Pretoria.
Yeah,
that was dope, bro. Like, that was dope. Like, I mean, that was something that I've always wanted to do. And for the past 3 years, I've just been developing myself, just developing a way of thinking and getting ready for this talk. I got ready for the talk, and even the day before my talk, I felt like I wasn't ready. But then I remembered I've been preparing for the last 3 years. So I literally shut it down, bro. It was really dope. So that was... That was my highlight of the week.
Shout out to you. Shout out to you, Sims. Yo, that sounds like a lot to compete with.
Telex Pretoria wants to buy Standard Bank. I'm just putting it out there. One.
Oh, my.
I don't want to say a lot about Standard Bank. Like, yeah.
Hey, yo, Standard Bank, fix your online portals, man. You guys got to catch a wake up, yo.
So, I got to have a serious conversation with you about Standard Bank after this.
But shout out to you, Standard Bank. I love you guys. So, for me, man, I think, like, these are cool highlights. I got to try and put my highlights into the same brackets. You know the listeners, though. They'll be like, Vaughn, highlights. Come on. No, my highlight this past week was I started recording some poetry.
Yeah,
which has been pretty cool. Yeah,
that's so dope. I listened to one or two of your pieces, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I'm just trying to figure it out. I realize that recording is a completely different skill that you need to practice. It's like writing, I guess. You get better at it as time goes on. But yeah, man. So I started doing that, and it's worked out. It's worked out pretty cool so far. So I'm excited. But anyway, enough about us. You know who really gives a shit about us? We've got a really cool guest in the building with us. We're going to introduce her right after the break. Should we take a break? Or do you want to go straight into it, bro? What you feeling? We know we can do whatever we want on the show, man.
Just
a quick HD
one.
Radio.
Just a quick one, Baba.
I did.
What do you want to do? You want to go into a break?
Go into a break.
I don't know, man. I feel like.
Okay, fine. Stuff it.
I feel like. I feel like we're going to go into a break.
Oh, wow.
Yours ain't banging like mine, no. Yo, what's up, guys? It's your girl, Gigi LeMaine, and you're tuned into The Unplugged Radio Show on Thursdays right here on Cliff Central from 12 to 1 p.m., baby. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
I don't think they were ever ready.
Oh, shout out Gigi LeMaine. Yeah, man, if you guys just tuned in, thank you very much for doing that. This is Unplugged and In Charge. We've got a really cool guest in the building today. We're going to be talking about some really interesting things that I think all of us, you know, struggle with at some point. Because when I was reading the bio, the one thing, you know what I'm saying? There, Sim said it all, yo. I was like, yo. I was reading the bio and I was like, this is really in-depth and this is really cool.
Yeah.
And it just... You know, it's kind of just made me want to speak about the next question. So we just want to welcome Celeste Kumalo is in the building.
Yeah.
What's up?
hello.
Thank you for joining us. Come a little closer to the mic. We've got to hear your nice voice. We've got to hear your nice voice loud and clear. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, your bio is like really, really intense. It's like really well written, I think, and there's a lot of information. Yeah.
One way to put it is that it's the most. Like I'm still going through it. Like, yeah,
it's definitely the most. Because I'm having a look at it and thinking. You know, it's one of the hardest things to do in life is to actually write a bio.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, I don't know how you guys feel about it. I kind of feel like when I write a bio or have to write something about myself, like a profile, it gets challenging because how do you explain who you are in all your ways on a piece of paper? You know. So yeah, take me through how you think about writing a bio and what are the challenges? Because I think it's going to go into another thing we're going to speak about. Yeah.
I think when I was compiling my bio, it was. What are my achievements and that are important to me? So I'd put them first and how I'd want people to perceive me first. Then I would filter it down to all the other things that I've done.
Oh, so did you think about what people think of you first?
Yeah. It's like your first impression. So I think the first paragraph is quite important to get that first impression. And get people to want to read the rest of it.
Do you think that that's something that people should apply to their everyday lives, like dressing?
Yeah, it is important.
That's a very good question. I'm just thinking it's such a contradiction coming from the man that's dressed in like the Christmas colored trench coat.
He looks so nice.
Thank you, Celeste. Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, no, the reason I'm asking is because, you know, sometimes I think we as young people, we get into these mindsets or we develop this culture where we try and say we don't really care what anybody else thinks and we want to just do what we want to do, right? Yeah. How much of that do you think can be a negative thing?
You know, it's something that I'm still battling with today. I've always had a very conservative look and a very put together look. But on my birthday, I decided to, you know, bleach my hair.
I was going to say, I love your hair.
Thank you.
Stop right there. I just want to have some brownie points. Happy belated birthday, Celeste.
Thank you.
Shout out to you. Yeah.
So I bleached my hair and I'm going for, it's a process, I'm going to for a silver look. So it takes a lot of time. But now when I meet people, it's like, what kind of category do we put this girl in? And how do we take her seriously? I mean, I'm doing an MBA, so when I get to class, like I'm sitting with people in suits and who are serious. But I'm just that kid who's sitting on the side with different color hair, yeah. but it doesn't take away from who I am and what I do.
Yes.
But I do dress according to where I'm going. And
with the thought in mind that, you know, people must take you seriously in a certain context,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite interesting because I kind of wake up in the morning and say to myself, today I feel like looking like shit. And then I get dressed and I look like shit.
Yeah.
And a lot of people see me and say, that guy looks like shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So do you think that that's a negative thing though? So because people think I look like shit, they might think I'm an idiot. They might think I don't know what I'm doing in my life. But what I'm trying to figure out here is where does the decision come in to be like, okay, I feel like this and I want to express myself in this way with clothing, like
mm-hmm.
I want to dress this way, or I want to say this thing, I really feel like saying it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I put that filter in to be like, Vaughn, maybe if you say this, people will think this of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that an important way to think, or do you think you should just think freely and be free like that?
Look, it's a challenge I'm also facing.
Yeah,
I
think we all do, like our whole lives. Yeah,
yeah. With kind of my background and also the direction that I'm going in, it's about how am I going to be perceived? And once it's out there and it's on social media, it's there forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does take away from your freedom. I think freedom of speech does come to really get put down in a sense.
Yeah.
When it comes to dressing. Yeah, there are days where I just don't want to dress up, you know,
yeah.
but if I own it and I'm comfortable in it, then
yeah.
the next person, if they're commenting on it and they have negative comments, they're uncomfortable about it,
yeah.
has nothing to do with me.
Mm.
But it's really, really, really a challenge. I think, though, if you know what you're capable of, what you want to achieve, you know, what kind of day you even want to have, it's up to you.
So I think the biggest thing is, I'm just going to add on to what you're saying, is mm-hmm. that you just need to be yourself, boo boo. Just flourish, you know?
It's hard to be yourself.
It's hard to be yourself in this world, but I'm just going to share a bit of my story over mm-hmm. this past year. Last year, this time, I was a corporate look because I was working in corporate mm-hmm. and all of that. And my transformation over the past year was really culminated in my TED Talk last week, where
mm-hmm.
I really literally walked into my TED Talk wearing a blazer, a shirt, and everything.
Yeah.
And in the middle of my talk, I took off my blazer, took off my shirt, put on a waistcoat, put on a snapback, and I was like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, I don't really think it's what you're wearing, but how you carry yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, just like Vaughn says, he dresses how he feels. Oh, he dresses based on what he wants to portray. That's a major thing. I'm the type of person that dresses how I feel. So I'll dress and I feel like going to the beach today. Like last week Friday, I was like, I wish I was at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So I wore like a chilled shirt, some shorts, some slops. I'm
yeah.
like, this is me going to work. I want to go like this and I want to be great at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest thing is, and we're going to go into this, and we spoke about this a bit earlier, is that in life, I think our greatest limitation is imitation. How
yeah.
do you feel about that?
It is. Because there's always someone that someone's going to compare you to.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. And even navigating your way around things gets a bit hard. I do find myself getting lost in certain things and having that image that, oh, I look like this girl because my hair's like this.
Yeah.
Or I dress like this. And, you know, so it's hard. But I think that it's a process of
yeah.
life. And you will get to a stage where people will start to identify you by how they see you, by the things that you do. And then we'll get comfortable with it.
So basically expressing yourself as
yeah.
through your work.
Yeah.
So I want to put a spin on this, right? So when it comes to image, so essentially what you guys are saying is that the way I look at image, right,
mm-hmm.
holistically, if you want to be respected, you need to dress in a respectable manner, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Okay.
So this is where I'm going to try almost expand the conversation. So when it comes to image, and I'm not talking about clothes, right? When it comes to image, how much of it is really what we see from the outside? Because society says that if you're a certain frame, right, if you look a certain way, if you go to gym and you're a certain size waist and you're a certain whatever, then you're almost a prettier or better person than the next person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, example, if someone was to say, wow, Lesego, why do you work out? It's not because I want to be fit or healthy. I couldn't care less that I can run 10Ks.
Okay.
I couldn't care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, on a day-to-day basis, when I go into the office, I'm not, like, my work does not involve me doing any hard labor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's about having a certain look, right? To say that Are you able to look a certain way? Will people be able to trust you with a certain piece of business, etc., etc., whatever it may be, mm-hmm. right? So I guess what I'm saying is that because we don't live in an island, right? We live with other people, right? We need to portray certain aspects of ourselves that the other person can trust in order for us to even move close.
So basically being relatable.
But I think that's also while you're building yourself. I think once you've got the credibility or you're at a point where people can trust you, whether they've seen you or not, they just know that your name is credible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But until then,
it's something that you have to kind of work on.
Ooh, that's deep. Because now you can also bring that into music, like mm-hmm. how certain musicians conform to a certain style of music. I think that's why trap music is really doing well, because mm-hmm. a lot of musicians are really stepping into that. But some musicians don't necessarily vibe with that. They're a deeper type of thing. So yeah. just to break into the industry, you have to be
have a certain look.
Yeah, so I mean, you come from a beauty background, and you're currently a model. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about your journey there, and what you're working on now.
Well, I modeled. I've done it my whole life.
you were Miss Teen, yeah?
Yeah, I was Miss Teen. I entered that to get the bursary to study.
Yeah.
High five. Smart girl.
Thank you.
That was the best that was the best reason I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Of
it's like, yo, my pretty face is gonna give me that education, baby.
You know what I mean?
Shut
hello.
Right, that's
shut up.
So I did that to get the bursary, got it, you know, obviously had some charity work to do with it. Now I've broken away a bit from the modeling.
Yep.
Because I've taken up acting, and acting has been like a low-key passion for me. So now I'm going into it.
Nice.
But at the same time, I've still got businesses. I've still got my nail bar going. I opened one in Melville this year. I closed it.
Yes.
But the one in Pretoria has been doing well. We're going on to our third year.
Absolutely brilliant.
The one that's in Hatfield, awesome. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see your store all the time, man.
Why don't you come in?
Do I need a manicure?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Ooh.
If she's giving me the manicure, I'll be there. Like,
She'll be there. She'll be there with like a chainsaw. Yeah. Just like.
So let's go see your nails. Be like, yo, step out, bro.
So I actually want to ask you a question, because this is probably, and this is probably why you're a very good fit for the show, right? Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, you're doing the actress thing, right? You're doing you've done the modeling thing, right? On the mm-hmm. other hand, you're studying your MBA, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask this question. Why are you studying your MBA? I want to start there, and then I want to know, where do these two things meet up?
Okay, so the first and simple reason is because I can.
Yeah, shout out. Exactly. That's why.
Because I can. I'm doing it because, look, I'm still building myself. I'm still finding the directions. I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. Mm. But by the time I get to 10 years, I can look back and say, but I did this, this, and this, and that's why I'm here. Mm. So with the MBA, also having a business, I do want to go into other kinds of business. And it can be business that has to do with beauty. It can be business that has to do with modeling or acting, depending on what works out for me.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's business at the end of the day. Everything that we do needs to either bring something in and give something out. So with the MBA, I also want to be that pretty girl with an MBA.
Hello.
You know.
Shut up.
So with that, with all of that, that's why I'm doing it. And we'll see what happens after that.
Do you think being a woman in business creates a little more pressure for you to get your MBA so that men can take you seriously?
I haven't done a lot of things according to men.
That's very good.
But
besides, use your pretty face to get a bursary.
Well, the judging panel was female.
Oh, okay, okay, shout out.
I think it's look, even when we dress as women and myself, I don't do it for the next guy to see me. I do it for the next girl to notice.
Okay.
So even getting my MBA in business, I would want other women to take me seriously, look up to the fact that I'm taking myself seriously, and then.
I think that's the answer that I was looking for is the one that where you say sort of you want to take yourself seriously, because mm-hmm. I think you've got expectations of yourself,
yeah,
right, and you're probably your biggest critic and your biggest fan and 100%. Everything at once. So mm-hmm. so it's kind of like what I was saying in on Touch Central a little earlier. I was talking about asking me what my utopia is,
mm-hmm.
and I think you know you can answer that question after me. I think my utopia is how do I phrase it again? So yeah, I said, it's not really the house I live in or the place or the position I find myself in or the car I drive or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's more of like, I can go to sleep at night knowing that I achieved what I knew I was capable of. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like those things, unspoken things that you have inside your heart and your mind that you only know yourself. That's the only Definitely. Only you know. And when that you is satisfied, I think that's in a utopia. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I think that's also very important for me is the day I lose it all, how am I going to stand up again? Mm. So when I have done all these things and gone through all these lessons and challenges,
yeah,
I can lose it all. I can confidently say today, I can lose it all, and I know I can start again and I'll be better.
Shout out. So as I'm signing out of 2016, please tell me, what's your greatest lesson that you've learned in 2016? It's been a crazy year.
And don't, don't say men are trash.
No.
That's you heard some. That's because he's signing out of 2016. The rest of you guys at home, don't worry. It's not New Year's. Simpiwe is on some other level.
I'm done, yeah.
You know, this year has been the best year of my entire life.
Yeah?
Wow. I've had so many things happen to me that I never thought would happen. But also, as much as you plan and you make your resolutions and everything, mm-hmm. I know this is going to sound, actually it should sound this way, I let God do it.
Yeah, shout out.
I let God take control, mm-hmm. and as much as it were things that I wanted to do, He still channeled me in the right direction. Mm. And I can always say I've received everything I've ever wanted.
That's very that's powerful. Fantastic.
Just not the way I wanted, but yeah. It's not up to me, you know, yeah, it's up to yeah. God. So
that's yeah. very powerful. So very your cool. dependence on God is what's kept you going.
I just want to commend you yeah. actually on what you're doing, because myself and Simpier, we're engineers, and the one thing that we know, there's not a chance in hell.
I'm done, man.
I'm done, bro. MBA. I'm done. I am exhausted. I am like still scarred.
Yeah.
Like it's still like studying hurts, guys.
It hurts.
It literally hurts.
Yeah.
And then I look at everything else happening, and that's why I think it's And that's why I think it's very important, because it's very easy to be distracted by everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, once you have a very comfortable job, once you have a very nice income coming in, and you really start to ask yourself, but like, why? Like, mm-hmm. for what? You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, what's the purpose behind it?
And to look above that and say, no, I'm doing it for myself and I'm doing it for the other chick, I think that's very commendable. I'm not like that. I'm very narcissistic. Mm-hmm. I just like the money and like...
Scorpio. Mm-hmm.
You know? And for me... For me, there must be a purpose. If I cannot see a purpose, you know, everybody talks about like this bettering yourself and this. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I'm very task driven, mm-hmm. and
that's why you flourish in corporate, bro.
That's yeah,
it's exactly.
It's a sick place. I'll mm-hmm. be honest. Like it's nothing to be. It has its people.
Yeah, I was gonna say that it has its people. I can't do that shit.
But you know
sorry.
Something? You know something that's also kind of really inspired me is when I look at the entertainment industry, the American entertainment industry. A lot of people are qualified, they've got their masters, they've got their doctorates. Jessica Alba, for one, she's an attorney.
Oh wow.
And her company, I think, is turning, she started a company 5 years ago, it's called Honest, and they're turning 1.5 billion. You know,
all right.
So
we're on the right track. Clearly, we are on the right track. There's hope for us.
There's hope for us, buddy.
We did not waste time studying engineering.
Exactly.
There is hope.
Exactly. Yeah, you can be in entertainment, but you've got something.
Yeah.
And you'll build from it. You'll see what you get from
it. I'm going
to
build the next Cecil, bro.
100%.
And there'll be no dual CEO. It'll be one man. And he'll be black.
Sokomapanga.
Power.
Man that's taking the land back.
Yeah, that's dope. I think it's an interesting topic. I think it's something that we all kind of battle with. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, especially being, you know, our generation. I think it's like, we spend so much of our time trying to figure out where we actually sort of fit in, you know, because like, where do we really fit in? It's a crazy sort of thought that I have often is that when I speak to, and it's usually triggered by when I speak to younger people. So I'm friends and I work with guys who are now 20, 21 years old, you know, and the one thing I've realized about these dudes is that they had access to information 5 years earlier than we did. Mm-hmm. So we were born in, like, let's say 1991, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
They were born in 96, 97. Mm-hmm. So which means when they were 10 or 9, YouTube was made, Facebook was made. Mm-hmm. We only got that when we were 17, 18. Yeah. So our entire, like, life was, like, unconnected, and we didn't have access to that stuff at the tap of a button. They do. So it's crazy to see how technology has actually sort of... fast-tracked maturity in a sense, because these young kids are doing big things and they know exactly where they fit in the world.
Yes.
Whereas who come from like early 90s.
We're in a confusing space. Yeah.
It's like we got, we're like right in. It's like that weird space where where do we, where position do we go?
I'll jump in here and say something. Like, I like that position because we have life off social media, life off online. We can go offline and love, you know? Like, because, I mean, that's what we used to do back in the day.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to go out and play with... I know, I remember I used to go out and play cricket in the street. Like, that was me. Like, play soccer in the streets. That's where I learned about these sports.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's tough because maturity... What is maturity to some degree? Because, like, is maturity what you know, or is maturity how you've grown up and what you've learned as you experience?
I think, though, there is the challenge that, you know, there's that Instagram life, that social media life.
That's a whole nother life.
And
eh?
Everyone looks up to it. Like, I've got friends who have that life,
yeah,
you know? And there are times where I'm also going through my Instagram and I'm like, oh, I want this life. You know? I want that.
Yeah.
And I'm just wired differently, I guess, because I'm still going the traditional route. I'm still trying to be an independent woman. Mm. I'm still studying, you know? It's hard to fit in. It's hard to stand out. I think the most important thing is just to move forward.
Yeah.
Just move. Move with yourself and keep moving.
Yeah.
I want to jump in here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get much deeper.
Oh, right. Lesego's going deep. Ladies and gentlemen, let me make an announcement. Lesego's going deep. Let's just contain ourselves. Let's compose ourselves. Lesego is about to go deep. Go for it, buddy.
So speaking about this whole fitting in thing, right? I talked to my mom last week, right?
Yeah.
And also...
Your mom's deep, eh?
My mom's deep. and my mom was like, you know, Seho, you pretty much have it now, right? You're sort of, you're very comfortable, right? What is the next phase in life?
Sure.
Right? And we're speaking about that... I feel like I'm in that space where there are no longer rules.
Yeah.
Because when we were in... Because when your parents were in their mid-20s, right? They're having kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? They were raising kids. Mm-hmm. I go into Facebook and literally I do this. Every time I see someone that has a kid on Facebook... I unfriend them.
Are you serious?
I'm being serious because I don't need that in my life. I'm like, cool, you're right. You can move on. Listen,
I won't unfriend them, Lesego. It scares me.
Seriously, I'm like that because then they start like posting baby pictures and all
that. So it scares you. Basically, it scares you.
It doesn't scare me, but I think, like, I look at them and I'm like,
it's contagious. That's why.
Lesego, it's okay, buddy. I understand.
But basically, what I'm saying is that, And I think it's a lot tougher for women.
Because
even in the office, you know, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant women. And their biggest fear now is, oh my gosh, biological clock, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then
they
ask me, like, when are you getting married? And I'm like 35. When you have your first kid, I'm like 40.
What?
Do you see what I'm saying?
Are you serious?
That's the exact reaction like it. Yeah. And I'm very serious.
I feel
because I feel like 40 is not old anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like right now, the 20s.
How old is your wife going to be?
The 20s.
She's gonna be 22.
Like, my wife ain't born yet. I'm joking. That was
my
sick.
Man. That's too real.
Whose heart are you breaking?
That was
so lit.
That's fire. That wasn't deep. It was lit, dog.
But listen, I'm getting more and more frustrated by this because the game has changed now. And for me, your 20s must be your most selfish years.
Yeah.
My 20s are about me. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm going to build what I have.
I agree with
it's
you.
It's about
bro.
Me and my family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to make sure that my family's all right. I'll make sure that I'm all right. I will live in surplus.
Yeah.
I can understand that as a guy.
Yeah.
I think also when I look towards a potential husband, he has to have gone through all of that. But I mean, for me, if my life was up to me, and thank God it wasn't, I would have been, what was it? 25 next year. So I should be getting married this year.
Sure.
25, I should start having kids because I want 4. And by 30, they're all done. Ooh. So that when I'm like 40, all my kids are in there like approaching their 20s. So I don't have to worry about them and I can be that mom, you know, that fun mom and stuff like that. But hey, it's up to God right now. So
I want 5 boys. Cynthia knows this.
Yeah.
As soon as I get them, right? I'm just going to kick them to like boarding nursery.
What?
Once they come back boarding school, once they come back university.
What's the point?
And they'll come back when they're
what
a man.
Is the
I'm
point?
Like, yes, let's do this.
No, but they won't even know you. Come on.
Listen, love. Like I'll stay in contact, you know.
No.
We'll FaceTime.
That's not how it works.
Trust
me, I'm a girl that had a father that was available sometimes.
Yeah.
And I mean, and I know a lot of men actually who are comfortable with the fact that they can only they'll speak to their kids from a distance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not you're a father because you know engineered.
Yeah.
But That's not how it works.
So clearly, you need to mature a lot more,
something?
Right?
Yeah.
You see, why need kids at 40 is exactly why.
So can I just say something? Like, it's very interesting because I had this discussion a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the one cause of all the problems we face in South Africa and the world globally?
Nyaupe.
Okay.
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 No, I just had to break that tension.
Okay, so all I'm going to say is that it's I believe it's men. Men that are not stepping up and being the fathers that our nation needs.
You know what? I can say this for myself. I've let go of that.
Really?
I've let go of having it to be a man that's going to make it right.
Okay.
And I learned early from having an absent father, very terrible relationships as well. It's not them, it's me. And
that's very deep.
It has to be me, and it has to be the people around me who I can affect positively.
But you see, the thing is, I feel like both the mother and father have a role to play.
100%.
And if one of them is missing, there's a deficit. Because the father, especially to the girl, I feel, is supposed to validate her and show how worthy she is and how valuable she is.
Yes.
So, like, if a father's missing in both a son and a daughter's life, that's a huge void.
It is. I've actually faced those challenges of not having a father there. And even when I do go into relationships, I do let a partner know that I don't know how to handle a man because there's never been one.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, I think society, and as much as, yes, it's been a traditional thing, and it is a good thing for both parents to be there, society's also made people feel like that the world will end or the world is crumbling because you didn't have a father.
Yeah,
you didn't
so
have
that's the next thing. That's the next thing. We can always feel entitled and complain and ask for this and that. But we got to take charge, right?
You will
take
be fine. Yeah. If a parent is absent, you'll be fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up with a father either. Mm-hmm. Dab on that.
We figure it out ourselves.
We
man.
Grow,
this life,
yeah.
This life thing is a puzzle. But if you guys have just tuned in, we've got Celeste Khumalo in the building with us. We're talking about everything that matters and a little bit of bullshit in between. You know how we do.
Always.
It's unplugged and in charge. We're going to be back after a break, but I just want to close off into this song. By saying that, you know, we don't want half fathers, man. We want the whole thing. The whole thing.
Borrow the riches is a one-one. She still had me driving out the forwards. Straight out the 1-6-4-4 play.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, it's Tessa Tala, and you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show on CliffCentral.com.
You know what it is. Tessa Twala said it. Thank you for tuning in, guys. If you just joined us.
She was lit, eh?
Unlucky. And she was lit.
Yeah.
She was lit. She was. That show, when I walked out, I felt like I had to walk out with a limp. I was like,
dog.
Yeah. They go killed.
Like, but literally, her and you, I think, are probably like polar opposites.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, just before that, we played a joint by a guy called Frank Casino. He's currently on the come up, if you want to call it that. Go check that song out. It's called The Whole Thing. It's on YouTube. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. It's a hell of a banger. Catch the new wave. These kids are riding a hell of a great wave. And if we miss out on that, we're going to miss out on all the fun, man. And talking about hustling, yeah. Right? A lot of young people are trying to do their thing.
Yeah.
A lot of young people are trying to do different things, right?
Yeah.
You're doing a number of different things, Celeste. You got you're a model.
An entrepreneur.
You're an entrepreneur. You're doing your MBA on weekends. I'm sure you you play the game where you like reject all the guys. You know that game.
Yeah. So
you're doing a whole lot of things. Do you have any sort of advice for like a young person that's trying to do a lot of things or has a lot of interests? Where do they start? How do they start? What would you say to them?
I think really there is a difference between individuals that do go to school and those that don't.
Yeah.
But I think that it's trying to find the balance in being in between. You can be street smart and book smart as well.
Yeah.
And that way you are exposed to certain different things about life and what you feel you need to address.
Yeah.
When you want to start a business or when you want to express yourself and things like that.
Shout out, man. That's really dope stuff because, I mean, life is complicated.
It is.
It's very complicated. There's no straight path to where you're supposed to go.
I still think school sucks, though.
It's hard.
I'm just... Like, I don't know, Lesoho. It hurts, man. It hurts.
So, Lesoho, I understand. Like, but at the end of the day, I think we learned a lot in varsity outside of the classroom that molded us into who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, we need to change the perception of education. It's not the textbook, the exam, and what they teach us, because that stuff's outdated.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way of thinking that you get that sets you apart from everyone else.
Yeah.
Before we're speaking, just before we cut off air, we're talking about fathers and father figures, right?
Yeah.
I think you're onto something. It's not so much that we're fathers, right? But we need father figures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So very much for me, when Simpio and I were doing our honors degrees in industrial and systems engineering.
That was deep. That title is still dope. Eh?
It's still, still dope.
Yes.
Yo, you want to repeat that?
Though? Yeah, one more time, bro.
How about honors degree in industrial and systems engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get it twisted. That's what I like to hear as a woman. That's yeah. what I like to hear.
For me, for a long time, and Simpio will know this, I practically lived in Simpio's house.
Yeah.
Like my entire honors year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, that was like the new home. You know what
can
I mean?
Can I just share something from that and then yeah. you can carry on?
Go for it.
I remember it was the 14th of November, the day before Lesego's birthday. I think we were writing an exam. What was it? It was calculus or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like we're grinding. Like Lesego's in my room, I'm in the dining room because we can't study together because we get up to
start talking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we only work to study together when we're like going through tests and stuff like that. It hit midnight, like nothing was said, like we're still grinding. And I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh snap, happy birthday, Lesego.
And then I was like, shut up, bro. And like our heads literally dipped down and we went straight back.
Nice.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we're saying, so for me it's about having a father figure who doesn't necessarily need to be a male.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us, and you said around the world, but South Africa specifically, you're always raised by like your gran or your mother and your gran, your mother and yeah. your aunt, your yeah. mother and your uncle, you know, whatever it may be. But it's never quite that
perfect.
Inverted commas perfect. Family home father. With yes. a picket, with a white picket fence. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is that?
And it's, I think the another thing that helps us is the people you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. If you're not surrounding yourself with people that challenge you to be better, then you're clearly wasting time with your life, because
yes.
that void can be filled by a good friend that understands where you're coming from,
yes.
and that's building you up to become who you're supposed to be.
Because Vaughn right now is challenging us to dab and be lit about it.
Yeah.
And then Celeste is like, no, but you need to be serious. Like, where your MBA at? Yeah. Like, it's a nice degree, let's go, but where your MBA?
And I'm MBA,
like,
yeah.
I'm a dab on an MBA.
You're allowed to be you. You're yeah, allowed to.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I think one thing this show is kind of like, you know, brought across today is that it's cool to be yourself, man. It's cool to know. Sometimes it's also okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we have these ideas that to be in touch with yourself means that you've got everything figured out. I don't think that's the truth.
No.
I think being in touch with yourself just means that you understand where you are at in every single moment of your life.
And yeah. that you know that you're confused.
Yeah, it's okay to be confused, right?
Yes.
That's a powerful thing. Like, I don't think anybody can claim to have it all worked out. You know,
yeah.
like life is a crazy ride, and mm-hmm. I think as we go along with it, we kind of like organically work things out. If we keep doing the right things,
yes.
I guess, you know, if we keep doing what we feel is good for us, we'll work it out. Like, we'll paint our pictures. You know?
Yeah, and intuition as well. I think people forget that you know your physical. I mean, your spiritual self. Knows what it's doing.
Yeah,
that's true too.
So follow, like,
yeah.
if it feels right, do it.
Trust
if,
your
if
gut,
there's
yeah.
the passion there, do it. That's why it's there.
So I want to end off saying that's something true. Very interesting, because we spoke about this before the show. You know, people say that somebody's on the come up when they're starting something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be forever on the come up, so
100%.
That when I get to the top, I'm going to break through that ceiling and
yes.
set a new top. We never need to settle out here.
Yes.
Forever on the come up, baby.
Forever on the come up. I agree with
yeah.
that, man. I think, you know what, I feel some type of way, man. I feel some type of way. I feel like I'm going to say a poem for you guys. What do you guys think?
Oh,
yes.
Should I do a poem?
Yeah.
I'm going to do a poem.
Yes.
I'm gonna be setting it up in the meantime. But while I'm doing that, right? While I'm doing that, you know what we're actually going to do?
Mm-hmm.
After the show, right, we're going to record a sting of you, you know, telling us to listen to the show. You
okay.
know? And then we're going to do another thing where we're going to record a sting for our homeboy Weza, and I want Simpiwe to tell you why we're gonna do that while I set up the poetry. So we'll go ahead, but we'll put your ass on the spot. Damn on that.
Okay, so it's funny, like, we had this discussion, and Weza really wanted to be here. Like, he wanted to be here the most because he's got like the biggest crush on you, Celeste.
People have crushes
yeah,
on me.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it was funny. He was so hacked that he had to go to Cape Town today because he really wanted to be here.
And just so you know, this is deep, right? I have never, I've known Simpio, what? He's also an engineer. So I've known
yeah.
Simpio for like 4 years.
Yeah.
I've never heard Weza say that I like
a
girl. X.
Yeah. Because
never.
He's the
what?
Most fussy. He's the most fussy.
Fussiest oak
yeah.
you have ever met in your life.
One a typical example is we had a friend, a mutual friend that was a Miss South Africa finalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he said about her was, like, we are saying now, she's beautiful and everything.
Yeah.
And Weza said, no, she has big teeth. I'm like, who says that about a girl? Like, I don't understand that. So yeah, man. Yeah. What are you ready,
that's,
bro?
That's what I wanted to get out the way.
Damn on that.
So yeah, man. And so I want to do this because like it's like it's something cool because this show means a lot to me. And the show means a lot to all of us, right? Yeah. Here, you know, it's like been a little bit of a life changing experience for us. So I've been writing a little bit of poetry. And I've been trying to keep it a little musical, so I've got my producers and stuff that I work with Shane. They're very talented. His name is Shooter Coombs. Shout out to you, boy. He makes some music, and then he just sends it to me, and we try and record, right? So this is the one thing. The poem is called Walt Disney, but I'm going to do it over a different beat. Yeah. I feel like I've been keeping this poetry in for way too long, man. Way too long. So let me express. What if we could have achieved things if only we asked? Like if I took the chance, could I be the rapper? If I rolled in a panda, would I have broads in Atlanta? If I did comedy, would they stand up? And would they shoot me? If I put my hands up, you see, maybe my white life matters, but my black soul doesn't. Cause I've seen them line up at Starbucks in their dozens. And I quote, "We'll never line up outside the polls to vote." The same people turn around and talk to me about the country like they just can't cope. Man, I'm losing hope. Everything's so twisted. Can someone explain to me? Why do good people keep getting screwed by life like you swear it believes in monogamy? Because when I close my eyes and look into my mind's astrology, they tell me we're free. But how are we free when every month we work to pay the landlord? And how are we free when half the country's screaming, "Where's the landlord?" Maybe everything that's normal needs to be redefined. Like, why do we have to have strong backs? Can't we have flexible spines? You see, the questions unanswered are the ones that I pursue. And I don't do it for me. And I don't do it for you. I do it for the author that's inside my head that writes my story in lead. Because it seems to always erase the memory of when it was myself that I first met. But you can chill, bro. I know that I sound cynical. But all I'm really trying to say is that if growth is necessary, then change is critical. A man once told me that change is our only constant. He said it so sharply, he cut skin deep, he was so clinical. But it made me think that if change is our only constant, then why do we still live by the same principles? I heard that time is the only thing that's actually ours. So I've been spending my minutes counting the hours just to find a second to breathe, to release me from the tension of my own fucking dreams. Cause I've been going through a lot lately, and things have been tough. But I've got the whole squad with me, and I know they're gonna hold me down when there's not enough heart in me. But part of me, let me take you back to the beginning. She left me. She said I'm way too busy. And now I'm left picking up the pieces to these emotion pictures to create my own Walt Disney. Vaughn the Poet.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
Shout out!
Shout out, G! Shout out!
No, that was amazing. That journey.
Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. So that's me, man. I'm trying to release a little EP maybe next year, a little 4-track thing, a little bit of my stories. I think everybody should practice self-expression.
Yeah, yes.
That's what it's all about, you know. Practice, be yourself. Be free in who you are. Live your life on your own terms.
Mm-hmm. So all I'm going to say is what the world tells you is to be like everyone else. But what the world needs is for you to be different. Go out there and leave your mark.
Amen. Go out there and live top floor, baby. You know what it is.
Yeah. CliffCentral.com.